Welcome in. Welcome back to another episode of the Format Podcast. We got an exciting episode for you today. And as you can see, I am not by myself. I am joined by the host of the Always Irish Notre Dame Football Podcast because, well, it's spring football time, guys. That's what it is. And John Kennedy, and he's going to join us today to talk Notre Dame football, talk about why, for whatever reason, they are so hated throughout the country, and also talk about what he's seeing in spring ball and a little bit of early expectations for this season. But before we get to that, you know what time it is. If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that five-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m. we are live here on the Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait. John, what's going on, my man?
Bruce, where'd you get that deep voice on that little promo? Ooh, it sounds like a commercial for something, man. I like that. You got to have some endorsement deals doing a voiceover. I like that.
Man, I'm going to try. I think I probably recorded that thing like 5 o'clock in the morning, like rolling out of bed. So that might have something to do with
Sounds good, man. Deep. I like it.
Appreciate you. How you been, John?
I'm good, my friend. I got to say, I'm a little upset. I got used to your Florida weather. I was down there for a week, 81 and sunny every day. Now I'm back in the Chicago area. I got snow flurries blowing around, pouring rain, tornadoes. We got everything, man. So I'm a little jealous I had to leave your Florida weather.
Well, look, John, see, this is the thing about it. Because you have those type of weather conditions you're experiencing now, it allows you to better appreciate the beauty of spring and summer. See, that's what it is. We got this pretty much all year round, so it's kind of weird. You don't even know how time is passing or anything.
So, yeah. You bring up a good point. It does make you appreciate those warm days.
That's right. That's right. So, John, we've been doing this, man, for probably, what, 3 or 4 years now, huh?
Yeah, it's been a flying by.
Yep. So obviously, you know, Always Irish Notre Dame Football Podcast. By the way, if you're a college football fan and especially a Notre Dame football fan, go ahead, check that out. Notre Dame, the Always Irish Notre Dame Football Podcast. Very entertaining. And if you want to watch or listen to somebody stroke out on a regular basis, well, John's your guy.
There's always a reason. I just need a reason. And there's always something.
There you go. There you go. So, first thing I want to talk about here, and if you saw the thumbnail, which obviously you did, or you wouldn't be here, I have a question, and that question is, why is Notre Dame football so hated? And the reason I came to that assumption is because years of being a Notre Dame college football fan, and I know I'm a journalist, I shouldn't be a fan, but I can be objective about this program. But I've been a Notre Dame football fan probably since I was about 14, and that's 1993. And I think that was the year that Notre Dame had the upset against number one Florida State at Notre Dame. And then just seeing them, watching them every week throughout the years, it just made me a fan. And so I've been following the team forever. But I've noticed that for whatever odd reason, despite its national fan base, despite its rich history, despite the fact that everywhere it goes and every game is its opponent's Super Bowl for the most part, Notre Dame really garners a lot of hatred throughout the country. And I'm going to get John's thoughts on that, but I'm going to play some things first that kind of discuss that. So the first thing is, I've got a snippet from Late Kick with Josh Pate, where he kind of talks about that. And then we'll talk about one of the biggest names in sports media and his thoughts on it. But let's check out Josh Pate first.
Who do you think the most hated teams in this sport are? I don't really care what your metrics are. I don't care what your criteria is. Who are the most hated teams in this sport? And boy, it took off. And a lot of you said Notre Dame. And I got several teams here, and I got my own feelings on this. But a lot of you said Notre Dame. I think that's partially fueled by the independent status. And you're aggravated that they get treated differently than everyone else. Now, my counter to that is I know a lot of my audience is younger. You guys probably weren't around in the 80s. But it may shock you to learn, if you went back there, a whole lot of these teams were independent. A whole lot of them were. Like, go look at the national champions. Look at the conferences they played in. You'll find a lot of them were independent. The Notre Dame take on all that is, hold on, you're criticizing us for being independent. We're not the ones who changed. You guys changed. All of you caved, and now you're criticizing us because we held firm. I feel the same way about the Rose Bowl, by the way. They get special media treatment, probably a source of a lot of the hatred. Now, I can't deny that. They get talked a lot about on this show. They get talked a lot about nationally. Now, where I do disagree is when folks start calling them overrated, and I've done that segment already. When you talk about their weak strength of schedule, it's statistically, it's just false. But nevertheless, people feel it. So yeah, Notre Dame's actually got to be on that list no matter how you slice it.
So I see you nodding your head there, John, and I guess we'll let you kind of open up a little bit on that, and then we'll get to, I mentioned, one of the biggest national sports pundits and his thoughts on Notre Dame, and then we'll get to the response from that, a little bit of truth responding to him. So go ahead and give your opening thoughts on this, John.
Yeah, first off, Josh Pate is pretty fair. As far as these guys with the big platform covering college football, I have found him to be one of the more even-handed, fair guys that takes an analytical look at everything going on. Mm-hmm. I believe that's why he's gained a lot of popularity in the past couple seasons, because people see he's pretty level with things. He's always been fair to Notre Dame, and so I appreciate that about him. When you're talking about this hate for Notre Dame, I think it comes from two specific places, and there's offshoots within them. Number one is Notre Dame has a extensive, large, loud, proud fan base that is not geographically based. That is a big deal. You got Notre Dame people that are diehard all over the country, all over the world. It is not like, why do you like U of I? Well, I live within an hour of Champaign, Illinois, and that's it. Like, so we have a huge fan base spread out everywhere, and we're very loud, very proud, hold on to our history. All of that is a part of it, okay? The problem with that is we haven't won a championship since the late 80s.
That's huge.
And people are going to get annoyed when you're loud and proud and all, you know, taking these stances and all that. When you haven't had any trophies in a long time, it's you haven't done anything for us lately. So therefore, you don't have a voice, or whatever you're saying doesn't matter. So that's one part of it, is being so loud and proud. And there's so many of us without a lot of recent accomplishments. People are going to get annoyed and say you don't matter, you're irrelevant, that old thing.
So let me interrupt you real quick. It's funny. Yeah. You do mention that, and that's absolute truth. Notre Dame has not won a national championship since 1988, and I don't know when's the last time they won a quote-unquote major bowl game, like New Year's Six level bowl. It's been a long time.
Yeah, 93 season, I think January 94. It's been that long.
Right, that's right. And what happens there is, as much as I hate to say this, I was really sitting down giving this topic a whole lot of thought, and Notre Dame are the Dallas Cowboys of college football.
Yeah.
And so, again, to your point, the loud, boisterous, national-level fan base, and have not won in decades, you know, it's hard for people to put up with that. Quick side note, you and I, we went to the same high school, not technically. Obviously, you went to school in Chicago. I went to school in Maryland. We both graduated from Bishop McNamara High School.
Yep.
Obviously, you're the Fighting Irish. I'm the Mustangs. Shout out Bishop McNamara Mustangs. But it's funny because my guys from high school that I'm still very tight with, to a man, they all hate Notre Dame football. And these guys are born and raised Catholics, you know, and I can't figure out for the life of me why that hatred is there. But yeah, go ahead with number two.
That's the first thing, is there's a lot of us. And and what I can never get these other fan bases to understand or respect, Bruce, I've fought this battle my whole life. Here's what I can't get people to admit. I can't get these other fan bases that I argue with on Twitter, that call my show or chat in my show and give me a hard time. I can't get them all to admit that for a lot of people that are diehard Notre Dame fans, it's about their heritage and religion. And that runs deep. It is like that Irish Catholic, those values that a lot of these families have, that fuels this Notre Dame love. It's not just sports. It's what those values represent. And when I tell people, it ain't just what state you're from. It represents those family and the heritage and the immigration backgrounds of these families. And that is a deeper tie than geographics or getting a degree from somewhere. I can't get people to understand that if they don't want to understand. It's like they have to admit our relationship with Notre Dame's deeper than like just a random state school or something. They don't want to admit it. But I always stand by that. That's why there's this huge Notre Dame group. So that's number one, is loud and proud. Evan had a lot to show for it lately, and that's going to turn people off. The other part of it is the independence. Because then you add on top of that, we think we're special, we have the history and all that. Then you get into the independence. People just don't like that you're different. They don't like that you're different. And who do you get to be independent, do your own thing? You think you're too good for a conference. That turns people off as well. So I think those are the two root issues that I see of why a lot of people hate Notre Dame.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough, and we'll come back to that. But next up, what I want to do is get to, I mentioned, one of the biggest name sports pundits in the country, and this is maybe about a month and a half or 2 months ago. He had something to say about Notre Dame football, kind of when the, when the new guidelines for the expanded college football playoff was released, and it was said that, obviously, Notre Dame has a seat at the table. Obviously, because they're independent, as you mentioned, they can't get any higher than the fifth seed because they can't be a conference champion. And this is what was said, and you'll know who it is.
You know, it's interesting. Nobody has said this, so I will. I'm listening to two renowned pundits and what have you, and your reputation speak for yourselves. They precede y'all. This is the number one show in the morning, 12 years and counting, by the way. I just like to ask you both albeit rhetorical, I just like to throw out this question. You talk about you have no sympathy for Notre Dame. Why are they even relevant? Can somebody answer that question for me? The Notre Dame Fighting Irish in college football has not won a championship since 1988 when they won in the Fiesta Bowl. I think it was against West Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, if my math is correct, that's 36 years without a national championship. I know they went to a national championship game. I remember when Brian Kelly was coaching them and he took them to the national championship game against Alabama. What happened in that game, Paul? What happened in that game? They got bum rushed so badly. They got annihilated, okay? I mean, Brian Kelly was probably planning his exit from Notre Dame at that moment, okay? this is an annihilation that took place. They have not won a national championship game since 1980. They have not won a national title since 1988. That is 36 years. 36 years ago, Dougie, I was graduating from high school, had an afro. Hairline was 2 feet forward, okay? Are you ready for this, Dougie? You had just started with Mike Francesa on the fan in New York City. That's how long ago that was. That last time, these brothers was relevant. And everybody walk around like Notre Dame, don't get me wrong, I root for the brother coaching them now. I'm not rooting against them. The Fighting Irish is the Fighting Irish. I've been there. It's a prestigious university. I get it. The Golics of the world and everybody love themselves some Notre Dame, and they should. Please don't get me wrong. But what the hell have they done? We're on national television. Georgia just missed out on the playoffs, and they were the reigning two-time defending national champions. We mentioned Notre Dame more than them. LSU got Brian Kelly. The man came from Notre Dame to LSU, okay? All right, LSU, they won national titles in recent memories. We saw what Joe Burrow, all right, and Jamar Chase and them brothers did, okay? But we still mentioned Notre Dame more than that, even though that was before Brian Kelly got there. Everywhere you look, we're talking Notre Dame. You got them on national television. Has anybody questioned NBC as to why you gave them this television deal? What have they done? What have they done? I'm still waiting. I thought we were about, don't get me wrong, I understand you win more than you lose, and I get all of that in a winning record. But that's when we talk about the elite, the creme de la creme of college football, we talk Nick Saban. We talked Kirby Smart. We talked about Dabo when he had Deshaun Watson and lost in the national championship game and came back and won a national championship. Okay, we talk about that. We talk about Trevor Lawrence going up against LSU in a national championship game. We talk about a lot of things. But for some reason, Notre Dame, who hasn't won squat, manages to infiltrate the conversations. I need an explanation. Why?
So before you go off, John, I know you're going to go off. So let me, when I heard that, one of the biggest things I thought about was this, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. Georgia won a national championship in 2022. Outstanding, dominant football program. Got it. They won back-to-back and repeated in 2023. Outstanding, dominant football program. Got it. Where was Stephen A. with all of this bravado when Georgia went 40 years? He was just now ranting and raving about how Notre Dame hadn't won a championship in 36 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know I'm a writer and not a mathematician. 40 is more than 36. Is that correct?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, they were, I believe they were what, 84, 82. I think? Well, okay, yeah.
Herschel Walker's freshman year. Yep. So between 1982 and 2022, four decades, Georgia hadn't won a championship. I wasn't hearing any of this. Now, Notre Dame, prior to Marcus Freeman's arrival, went five straight seasons with 10 wins in a row, right? So we remember when Georgia was really doing its thing right before Kirby Smart, Mark Richt, the previous coach, Mark Richt had this team consistently in SEC title games and consistently in big bowl games and consistently winning double-figure games, right? Winning double-figure games every year, but couldn't get over the hump. There was none of this from Stephen A. Smith. I wasn't hearing any of that. So before we go ahead and drop the truth bomb in response to Stephen A., I want to hear what you have to say about this commentary.
Here's number one. It is not lost on me the timing of that segment. The timing of that segment came out, I believe, after the Super Bowl, before March Madness. It was that couple week period where there's a content vacuum on the national scene. Mm-hmm. That stood out to me. It's like, we need to fill something here, and then you pull the Notre Dame thing out.
So doesn't that prove exactly the opposite of what Stephen A. was saying? Why are they relevant if he was utilizing them in a content vacuum to move the needle with a big segment?
Right. The irony is, he's the one putting Notre Dame out on the national scene on ESPN. So if they're so irrelevant, it shouldn't even have been a story. Why are you bringing it up on SportsCenter or whatever, First Take or whatever? The irony is, all the people talking about Notre Dame being irrelevant is proving their relevance just by doing that activity. Exactly. It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, irrelevant means out of sight, out of mind. Irrelevant doesn't mean in my mind and I have problems with it. That's relevance. Irrelevant means out of sight, out of mind. There ain't even anything to discuss because it's off the radar.
That's right. That's
just not the case. So they're making it more relevant by bringing it up. And then here's the other thing, man. Yes, Notre Dame hasn't won a title since 88.
Correct. No denying that.
But in the last 10 years, they are the number 6, 7, or 8 record-wise team in the last decade of overall wins. They have the national title appearance where they got demolished by Alabama. That was almost 12 years ago. I mean, I can't believe how long ago that was. And then they've been in the playoff with a couple really good undefeated seasons since then. Right. Top 6, 7, or 8 in overall record the last 10 years. If we're saying people are irrelevant, there's a long list of teams that apply for that before you get to Notre Dame. If you're looking at that record in the last 10 or 12 years, have they gotten over the ultimate hump? Absolutely not. And that's, why I yell on my show every day, because we haven't gotten over the hump. But the other question I would have is, define relevance in this discussion for me. It sounds like the only teams that are relevant are if you're winning a championship in the last couple of years. Gauging off that debate we just heard, the only teams that are relevant are the top 2, 3, or 4 teams that win these playoff games and titles. Now you got 130 teams that are irrelevant and about 3 or 4 that are. If that is your criteria, there's only 3 or 4 teams to talk about at all then recently. That's another problem I have.
Well, not to mention this, Notre Dame consistently their games are consistently in the top 10 or top 5 most viewed every single season. Every time Notre Dame has a big night game, it blows the ratings away. We see it year in and year out. And we know that college football is about the money. So Notre Dame is a big, big money generator and a big, big needle mover. So how are they irrelevant? We keep getting back to that. But let's check out this truth bomb that we've got to drop on Stephen A. in response to his nonsensical commentary.
If you cover college football and you didn't know about this rule until now with Notre Dame in the first round bye, then I'm probably not going to care too much about your opinion, because this expanded playoff format has been the biggest sports story, or the biggest story in the sport, for the past 3 years. And everyone who is worth a damn knew the rule, except some notable people in the college football space. And if you want to claim Notre Dame is irrelevant on the field, you're just being ignorant. Right? The Irish are one of 8 teams to make the 4-team college football playoff more than once. Only 6 teams have won a college football playoff national championship. So does that make everyone else irrelevant? Like, is Texas irrelevant because they haven't won a championship? They haven't won a playoff game? They've actually made the college football playoff one less time than Notre Dame? Not to mention the fact that Notre Dame is 95-33 over the past 10 years, despite finishing 4-8 in 2016. They also have finished in the top 15 7 out of the past 10 years. And the only schools with better records over the past 7 years are Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and Michigan. Is everyone else irrelevant? I don't think so.
So there you go. There's the numbers.
That's literally... That's exactly where my mind went, is everybody else is pretty much irrelevant other than 3 or 4 teams. And the disingenuous.
Right.
Listen, ESPN knows more than anybody about programming things to get ratings. They invented the genius behind that game of creating narratives to generate ratings into what they want and to build it up. They know that roadmap better than anybody. That's why this is so disingenuous, because Stephen A knows Notre Dame pulls TV ratings. He knows when they got a bowl game.
That's right.
When they got a bowl game, it's getting sold out, even if it isn't a prestigious one. They know when Notre Dame plays an away game, that's the biggest attendance the away team gets is when Notre Dame comes. They know all of that, but they need to create the narrative. It's just, it's really disingenuous. It's mentally weak, and I think they know it. I'm convinced this was to fill that vacuum of big news stories in the sports calendar where that was, because Stephen A. hit all the lazy Notre Dame tropes. It's a grand slam. Touch them all. He hit them all. Right. He hit them all like a random dude at the bus stop you're arguing with when he sees your hat. Not a guy who does this for a living. It was really, really a lazy touch-em-all argument that is easy to disembowel one step at a time with basic facts. Listen, irrelevant, they're not. Elite winners, they're also not lately. That doesn't mean that they're both everything. They could be relevant, but not win anything that matters a lot lately, too. Both of those can exist. Lazy. Right. It's lazy, lazy, lazy stuff.
And that's funny, because Mad Dog Russo, he was on the show. He was on that show as well. He knows better. His daughter graduated from Notre Dame. He knows better.
Yeah.
Paul Feinbaum, he's been a college football pundit and insider, you know, for a long time. Yeah, we get it. He's an SEC guy, but he knows better.
Bruce, here's what exposed all of these national guys with this. Tyler hit on it. Here's what really exposed them. The big breaking news that all those people came out with, the national people, Feinbaum and Stephen A., they acted like it was breaking news that Notre Dame wasn't getting that bye because they weren't in a conference. They ran that on the ticker on ESPN like it was breaking news. Tyler mentioned it. We all knew and accepted that Notre Dame tax a year ago. This is not news. This is old news. And I got news for them. We all accepted it.
That's right.
Feinbaum's up there going, I don't feel bad for Notre Dame. You get what you get. What do you talk about? We're not complaining. Right. Exactly. We accepted this.
Exactly.
We've been fine with this for over a year, and he's breaking news like we didn't know that that Notre Dame no buy tax was a thing. Mm-hmm. We had all already digested it and we're fine with it. And then he created the drama of like, quit crying, Notre Dame fans. You get what you get when you don't want to be. We already accepted this. Nobody in Notre Dame land, fans or media, nobody was going, bad deal for Notre Dame. This is awful. They folded. We can't compete. Everybody in Notre Dame land accepted that no buy thing over a year ago. These guys exposed themselves by acting like that was a breaking story when it wasn't. So they got lazy on this. Mm-hmm. There's a gap in the content window, and it was pile on Notre Dame week. Then it hits Twitter, and all the other people pile on. It's really, really intellectually lazy.
That's right. And the final point I'm going to make on this, you know, Notre Dame hatred thing is this. If the SEC is the number one conference, and it may not be now with what the Big Ten has done and with who they've added, but regardless, let's say they're number one and the Big Ten is 1A. Do you think that the Big Ten wouldn't sell their collective souls to get Notre Dame in there? They've been trying for years. So yeah. If Notre Dame is so irrelevant, why do they want them so badly?
Yeah.
It's simple.
It's very, very lazy. It's just one of those things where you can see right through it, man. The same old tropes. I was disappointed to hear Stephen A. He's got a lot of hot thoughts on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. To see him round the bases on every lazy Notre Dame take, and then just because you yell about it doesn't mean that it holds more truth. I'm the master at yelling about stuff. You know, like it doesn't mean that if you raise your voice, it means more. Like It was really lazy, man. I just can't accept it. And again, if you want to say they haven't been elite lately, I fully agree with you about that. But that is not how I measure relevance, man. Right. TV numbers, bowl game traffic, you know, people in seats, like all of that stuff matters. And Notre Dame moves the needle. And also, Bruce, one more thing on this. Mm-hmm. Who are you mad at? That's another part of this. Why don't you be mad at all the people that are allowing Notre Dame to make all these deals independent? Why are you mad at Notre Dame for taking deals offered to them? Get up there and go, why is the Big Ten leadership playing nice, cut Notre Dame in the playoff at all? Tell them they're not in it unless they join fully. Be mad at those people. Don't be mad at Notre Dame for making business deals that are offered to them. Be mad at the group of people that outnumbers Notre Dame that want to play nice because they see the value and want Notre Dame involved. So the who you're mad at, I have a problem with too. Be mad at those people in that room that wanted to play nice with Notre Dame and not a hardball. Be mad at them. Also, if independence is this easier path, everybody else is free to do it too.
That's right.
If you think you can make that swing and it's an easier path, everybody's welcome to do it, man. Get your own TV deal, negotiate that, go on your own schedule, whoever you want. If it's that easy to do, why don't I see other people doing it if it's an easier path? I'm waiting for my answer.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the real last thing I'm going to say about that, Stephen A., one, we know he's not a college football guy. So
yeah,
you
it's obvious. That's quite obvious.
You got to take those comments with a grain of salt. But secondly, I know you don't watch a whole lot of ESPN, but I try to consume as much sports media as I can on the whole. And Stephen A., for years, has been talking about, and you heard him in that clip, Alabama, Nick Saban, and you hear him yelling, Roll Tide.
They were also nothing for 40 years.
Well, what I'll say about that is, it's not even that. What I was getting to is, I'm very curious to see, now that Saban's gone, if he's still going to be yelling Roll Tide, now that Kalen DeBoer is the head coach. Because if you love Alabama like you said you did, we'll see. But we know it's not going to be that way, and no one's going to call him out about it. So it is what it is.